Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
British Petroleum closed two pipelines in Georgia in the wake of the conflict with Russia. One carried Caspian oil from Azerbaijan to the Georgian Sea. Another British Petroleum pipeline stopped last week as well, following an explosion on a portion of its line. Now, these are key energy routes. And to find out more, we're going to turn to Carola Hoyos, who is the chief energy correspondent for the Financial Times. And she is joining us from London. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, let's start first with what didn't happen. We had two major pipelines closed in Georgia, and oil prices did not spike up. So what does that mean?
That's kind of good news for drivers in the U.S. and also in Europe. It means that really the sentiment has shifted quite dramatically in the last month. Oil prices have fallen 24% in the last month. And, you know, we talked about a month ago, and pretty much any threat to even a much smaller pipeline than the BTC pipeline that runs almost a million barrels a day of crude oil into a very serious and important hub would have increased the price quite dramatically. Now, just 4 weeks later, we are feeling far more comfortable about how much supply we've got on the market. And you see that in the fact that the oil prices continued to fall, despite the fact that this very key route has been shut for a while and two smaller pipelines were shut yesterday.
Oh. So now, talk about how big this move is. When is the last time something like this has happened?
Well, I was scratching my head about this. I've covered this for quite a long time, and this happens relatively rarely. BP has been burned before on pipelines, and they did. Do you remember they shut down the Alaska pipeline a couple of years ago, pretty much as a precaution because it was leaking in small points, and that affected the oil price, and people were a bit surprised that BP was willing to go to that extreme measure. So I think the recent history of BP has informed this decision to a certain degree. But generally, even during the Iraq-Iran war and during the Gulf wars that followed that war, the industry has been incredibly resourceful at keeping the spigots open and pipelines or ships and tankers moving.
Now, if we could go back and explain the importance of these two pipelines. We keep talking about how they're key routes, but where are they and what do they mean, really?
Well, they're very important because they are not in the Middle East, or the oil that they carry is not from the Middle East, and they are not in Russia. So strategically, they're very important to Europe in terms of diversifying its supply away from those two key suppliers that they are so dependent on, both for oil and in terms of Russia for oil and gas. And they're also important enough for the U.S. from a strategic perspective that the U.S. was absolutely key in getting the BTC pipeline, which is that big pipeline that was shut earlier this month, going. So they are strategically, because of where they are, very important to Europe and the U.S., but also to Russia.
And now, Carola, this is Adora. You and I spoke last month about how all of these international events, small ones, were having such a big impact on world oil prices. Do you think the vulnerability has been mitigated by the strength of the U.S. dollar and also by the decreasing of U.S. demand? What's making the oil price less volatile this week, given international events?
Well, you're absolutely right to ask that question, and your second point is the more important one. It's that the demand from the U.S. has really come off because you've had two problems. One, you've had high gasoline prices at the pump, and people aren't willing to pay $4 plus per gallon. And two, you've had a credit crunch and a slowing economy, which makes people feel poorer. So they're doing two things. They're not driving as much on their summer holiday, and they're also starting to move towards buying Japanese small, efficient cars and trading in their SUVs. That second shift is a structural shift, and that's very important because it looks like that is not going to, they're not going to revert back to SUVs that quickly, even when the oil price falls as it has been doing. So really, the big things that have happened is that demand has come off in the U.S. and supply has come on. The last time we talked about the meeting in Jeddah where the Saudis promised to add more oil, and they have. We had a piece in the FT in today's paper that OPEC is pumping more oil than it ever has, and that's in part thanks to the Saudis, who promised to increase, and they did, not to the level that they promised, but nonetheless they did increase their output because they were coming under pressure from the high oil prices. And that has brought prices from $147 a barrel to $116.
All right. Now, Carol, we could talk about this a lot longer, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was nice to be here.
Oh, good. Carol Hoyos is the chief energy correspondent for the Financial Times, and she joined us from London here at The Takeaway. I'm Catherine Lanford, in for John Hockenberry.